thank my pastor. This is actually a hospital. Y'all, well, better. Y'all took better care of us than a hospital would. But I'm just blessed. Thank God for Jesus. If it had not been for the cross, if it had not been for the blood, you and I wouldn't be here. I just want to say this before I get you to turn your Bibles. I'm glad Jesus took a bad man and make him good. And he'll take a good man and make him better. He'll take an ignorant man and make him wise. And he'll take a dead man and make him alive. And if you have a Bible this evening, I want you to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Appreciate the Spirit of the Lord. I could tell you to turn anywhere you want. It's all good. I just feel like I could preach from anywhere. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elijah, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elijah said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Now, if your Bible don't say save a pot of oil, you got a Queen James. You ain't got no King James. My Bible says save a pot of oil. Then he said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more," and the all stayed. Would you help me pray tonight? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to thank you for your word, Lord, in these last days. Lord, that comfort our hearts and give us grace. Lord, I'm reminded, Lord, be with that family, Lord, and their lost loved ones. Lord, meet with us tonight. Help us, Lord, the ones that discouraged. Lord, I pray that tonight they'll be encouraged. Lord, we thank you and praise you. If there's one here lost, I pray they get saved before it's too late. We love you. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all the Lord's people said, amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice here in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets." I'm not a good alliterator, but you can go, there was a cry of a certain woman, but I'm going to go with a personal cry. This woman, she had a personal cry. She lost her husband. She's lost her provider, her protector, her soulmate. And now this woman, she is crying and she has a personal cry. Well, you know, this don't matter to us a whole lot because it's not us. But I'm glad this, that for my personal problems, I have a personal Savior. And I'm glad when people can't get to me, but I'm glad Jesus could come to where I am. When I could not go to where He was, He could come to where I was. You see here, there's a personal cry, but not only is there a personal cry, I want you to notice the persecutor is come. The Bible says here, the creditor is come. For illustration's sake, I want you to notice that the persecutor is come. And he's saying this. He's knocking at this woman's door. He said, "You got a debt that has to be paid. You and I had a debt that we could not pay. And Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe." Well, thank God for that. But this persecutor, he is coming at this woman. And this is what he's telling this woman. He says, "I'm coming to your house. And I want to tell you something about the persecutor, which is none other than the devil. He's coming to your house and he's coming to my house." And he's saying, if I can't get your marriage, if I can't get your finances, he says, "I'm going to get those kids. That's what he wants. He said, if I can't get your marriage, if I can't get what's in your house, I'm coming get those kids. That right there ought to be enough for every mom and daddy to stay at the altar. Praying for those kids. And that's what the persecutor is coming for. I won't tell you. You can give me financial problem. You can give me health problem. Don't give me marital problem. Man, I'll take anything over marital problem. I remember starting this work, Brother Ken, our first Sunday, we getting ready for church. And my wife, she's in the bathroom. And I go to her and she don't even want to talk to me. And I say, so do I need to get on the phone and call them and tell them, well, I can't be a pastor because she's worn out. Couldn't explain it. Why she didn't want to talk to me. I couldn't explain it. All I know to do is get on my knees and call out on God, Brother Tim. And boy, I'm glad there's a God. I got on my knees and I prayed. And within minutes, I walk in the bathroom and my wife's getting ready. Hard to preach. But I got there, preached in the house like I ain't never preached before. But I'm glad to say that God, He's a personal God. He'll come to where you are, give you strength when you need Him. And He said, if I can't have you, I want those kids. I'm coming for those kids. I'm reminded in John 10:10. He says, the thief cometh, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. What does he want to steal? Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your joy and my joy. Know what? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we come in here and get happy and excited about what God's done, saved your wife, saved your husband, saved your kids, saved you not only from yourself and from your sin, gave you a place in heaven. When we get excited about that, He hates it. But if He can keep you hushed up about it, He's got the victory. And He wants to steal your joy. Not only does He want to steal our joy, we see that in Nehemiah 8:10, but in Jeremiah 9:21, He said not only does He come to steal, He comes to kill. Jeremiah 9:21 says, death peeps into our windows. Death is a peeping Tom. Peeping in your windows and my windows, wanting to take us out of here. Creeping. You and I will never know till we get to heaven how many times God protected us. That car swerving into the other lane that's supposed to hit you, hit somebody else. God's grace protecting you and me. He said, not only does He come to steal, wants to steal our joy, kill you and me, but destroy. He said, okay, if I can't steal their joy, if I can't kill them, this is what I'll do. I'll destroy your testimony. See, when you and I die, we leave something behind. And your testimony is what He wants to destroy. See, if you serve God and you mess up, your testimony is ruined. God can't use it. But if you stuck with the stuff, stayed with Him, even when you pass on, you still hear Brother Ken talk about the old time men coming to his house. Testimony. Lord still wants to use your testimony. He wants to use my testimony, and the devil's after to steal our joy, kill you and me, but if he can't do that, he wants to succeed in stealing our testimony. I wonder tonight, are you going to let him steal your testimony? He said, the creditor is come, and he's coming to steal, to kill, and destroy. I was just in my devotion time the other day, I thought about this. In Luke chapter 22, the Bible says in verse number 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desire to have you, and that he may sift you as wheat. This is what I told my church to do. You know where it says, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desire to have you? Put your name there. You ever had a desire for something? You ain't going to stop until you get it. Satan has a desire to have you and me. You see, when we go to sleep at night, he's working overtime. How hard is it for you on Sunday morning to get up? In the morning, come to the house of God. Boy, that bed looks real pretty. And this is the thing. He's coming for those kids. It's sad when it's raining and it's cold and the kids walk down the hall and knock on your door. Mommy and Daddy, are we going to church this morning? Our kids, our testimony. I wonder if church is just an option. I wonder if it's just a habit. He's coming to your house and he's coming to my house. I want you to notice not only that there's a personal cry, there's a persecutor has come. I want you to notice the pot that is considered. The pot that is considered in verse number 2. I guess before, let me go on to verse number 2. The pot that is considered, it says, and Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? But thank God there was a prophet that was concerned. Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. I could see that woman telling her kids, your daddy didn't leave us a 401k. He didn't leave us a CD. But he left us with a G-O-D. Well, your daddy, he didn't leave us a whole lot. But your daddy knew something about what to leave us behind with. Daddy, don't want to, and mamas, you could take this too. Daddy, what about leaving behind those times when you don't know what to do? Your kids see you on that bedside. Calling out on God. I'm walking all over the mic. What about when you picked up that food at that fast restaurant and your kids hear you thanking God that you have it? Your kids are like blank videotapes and they got their finger on the record button. What you do is what they're going to do. Boy, I just got this thought. If we don't fight for our marriages, our kids won't. She said, Elijah said, woman, what hast thou in the house? You pass through subdivisions and you'll see people got garages and it's packed out with stuff and the car is on the outside. What hast thou in the house? She said, I ain't got nothing but oil. In the olden times, people didn't have what we have today. This is what I want to ask you. I wonder what we have in our house that's hindering the presence of God. He said, what's in the house? When we get into our house, you're going to go home tonight. Maybe not after you hear this, but when you go home, this is what we normally do. We get home, first thing we go for a remote control, put the TV on. Everything noisy in the house. You go in restaurants today, you got TVs, you got music in the shopping centers, you got music, everything is busy. And when you get in the car, first thing you go for is the radio. My Bible tells me Jesus speaks in a still, small voice. With all the rubbish, I want to ask you this, when's the last time you heard him speak? With all that going on, When's the last time you heard them speak? What have you? What's in your house? You say, I have nothing save a pot of oil. God help us get back to the oil. This morning, boy, oil. Don't y'all ever stop doing. The devil's going to try to throw things at your eyes, just repetitious. He's a liar. Amen. You need to do all, and the people come down to the altar. That's all. Amen. That's all. When you come in here, and Brother Ken didn't even have the priest this morning. That's all. Amen. Well, God help us to get back to the all. The pot that was considered. Not only the pot that is considered, but I want you to notice the parents concerned. The parents concerned. In verse number 4, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. The parents concerned. You see that her kids weren't speculating what mama was doing. They were participating. Let our kids get involved in the things of the house of God. Let them get involved. Encourage them. I'm a truck driver besides pastor. And boy, I'll come in sometimes 2-3 in the morning after a late run. And my wife, she'll come open the door and she'll go back off to bed and I'll go get me a shower. And boy, the Lord reminds me sometimes I walk through my house. And I'll go to my daughter's bedroom, boy, and I'll pray that over them that God will just touch their lives, that He would use them in a mighty way. And then, boy, I'll make my way to my bedroom, boy, and I'll pray over my wife and my two little boys, asking God just to keep a hedge of protection about us. What's the last time you walked through your house and done that for your family? Her kids were involved. They weren't speculating. They were participating. Not only personal cry, a persecutor has come, the pot that was considered, but this is my last point. I'm in here. I want you to see the pouring that must be completed. The pouring that must be completed. The latter part of verse number 4, when she went in and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, it says, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. The pouring that must be completed. The Bible says that thou shalt set aside that which is full. This is a full bottle of water right here. What good does it do anybody? It's full. He said, you take what's full and you set it aside. The only way that could help anybody, it has to be poured into somebody. I wonder why God put the gospel in you. I wonder why you're trying to remember scripture. Not to be intelligent. He put some in you that you might take it to somebody else. God blesses me and you that we might bless somebody else. God fills me and you up that we might pour our life into the life of somebody else. We come to church. And this is what happens when we get full. When we get full, we get familiar. And when you and I get familiar, it gets dangerous. It gets dangerous when you and I get familiar. Church just becomes a routine. Come to church and say, you know, it's going to be the same old song, same old singers, same old preacher, same old jokes. And the devil starts saying, it ain't going to hurt you any if you miss Sunday night. You went Sunday morning. That's enough. That's enough, and that's where it starts. Familiar. It ain't going to hurt. Romans 14:7 says, no man liveth to himself and no man died to himself. When you left here tonight, I wonder if your next door neighbor peeped out the window, said, they are mighty faithful. And when they sat down in their on their sofa, their recliner, I wonder what they have that I don't have. You'll never know till we die with how the Lord's using you. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching. When we get full, we get familiar. This is my title. I wonder, is there an empty vessel in the house? Are we all full and set aside? God's looking for somebody to say, Lord, I thank you for all your blessings on me. I thank you for saving my wife, my family. But I need you more today than I did yesterday. Lord, I already need you tomorrow. I wonder, is there an empty vessel in the house? God's blessed you to bless somebody else. He put something in you. I don't know where this water came from, but it needed a vessel to put it in, not to stay in. It has to be poured out to give somebody some strength, keep somebody alive. God's put something in you tonight. Pastor, you come? Or you want me to do the altar? Okay. I didn't know.